Today on Real Radio.
God's technicolor truth unlocks the deeper revelations of what God is saying. Jesus Christ obviously is the pinnacle, the gateway, the touchstone of biblical teaching. You cannot teach better than Jesus. You cannot illustrate better than Jesus. He is the living Word of God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series on parables. In upcoming programs here on Real Radio, Pastor Jack's going to examine in depth some specific parables we find in Scripture. But before we hear these lessons, we got to first understand what parables are, what their purpose is, and the audience for which they're intended. And so here it is, the introductory lesson called The Parables, The Technicolor of Truth.
The same parable delivered can shut a heart down. But God's intent is to redeem. He wants all, the Bible says, to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Wouldn't that be awesome if everybody did that? Do you have loved ones who are not saved? Doesn't that drive you crazy? I don't know about you guys, but maybe most of us men feel this way. You get burdened for a family member or for a neighbor or for somebody, and you want them to save so bad that there's this temptation that maybe men only get. And it's like, if I could just sit on their chest and hold them down, I'm going to shove my Bible in their mouth. Surely they'll understand and be saved. I mean, we would force him if we could, but we can't do that. It's not that way. His desire is that man, that you would be saved. He wants you to come to a knowledge of him. And he paints pictures. Did you guys see the sunrise this morning? Anybody commuting? Anybody up this morning? Anybody see it? Raise your hand if you saw it. Five of us? Oh, okay. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty neat. Over here, all orange, all... Again, I told you before, how does God do that? Orange, blue, purple, pink, insane colors, unless you're God with an airbrush, right? And it looks awesome. Why is that important? How can you be a non-believer driving around and you see that and go, man, evolution rocks. Evolution's been so good to me. God shows that stuff in an instant. It's amazing. He's so good that way. The second thing is this. God's technicolor truth delivered in a parable presents. It makes a presentation. It presents God's word in living color. By living color, I mean in its absolute brilliance spiritually. That's why, you guys, you've known people, maybe it's been you yourself, where people have shared with you, they've witnessed to you, you've read tracts, they told you, they gave you a DVD to watch, all this kind of stuff, and you don't get it. And you don't care to get it. But at some point in time, God's word comes. It could be in a song. I've heard of people coming to know Jesus through a song. A friend of mine, not a Christian at the time, partying, was in an absolute maniac rock band. He's in some city somewhere and checks into a hotel. And he's drunk in his hotel, opens up the drawer, and grabs a Gideon Bible, probably from you, Clyde. Grabs a Gideon Bible, opens it up. The guy's drunk. You say, well, you can't understand the Bible when you're drunk. Of course you can't. Oh, man, have you heard people say, dude, that's why I smoke pot, man, so I can understand the Bible. No, you are crazy. No. But God was pursuing this guy's circumstances in life, issues in his life. He's drunk. Opens up the Bible, and he said he opened up the Bible, and he started reading it, and instantly his mind was crystal clear. And it scared him. He was instantly sober. And he kept reading the Bible, got on his knees, accepted Christ. That guy's in the ministry today. He's a pastor. Is that amazing? He said, God can't do that. Yeah, he can. Yes, he can. What happened? God, by the Holy Spirit, using the Word of God, lifts the truth of it up off the pages because it's alive and it's emboldened and embossed on a heart, we'll say in technicolor, in living color. Listen, The Bible should never be boring to you, ever. Now, you guys as a church are spoiled because every year we have a chance to go to Israel. And I always tell people before our first day of touring, hang on to your seats because your Bible will never look the same after today. Well, how come? Well, because we're going to go to Bethany. We're going to be going to the Elah Valley today. We're going to be going to the Samaritan well where Jesus met up with that woman there. And you'll see it and you'll never read those names again. Why? Because the Spirit of God uses clarity to drive home the Word of God in living color. Listen to this. Matthew 13:54. When he had come to his own country, he, Jesus, taught them in the synagogue. So they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom?" Why? He illuminated with his teaching. Matthew 7:28. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Wow. Can you imagine? Wouldn't you love to hear Jesus teach? Here's the Word of God talking about himself. John 7:46. And this is a neat, the context of this is the Pharisees are upset, the Sadducees are upset, they want to kill Jesus. They've sent the officers to see if they can go ahead and catch Jesus or arrest him. And it says in John 7:46, the officers answered, because they had to give a report back. They said, "No man ever spoke like this man." They send these guys to arrest him. They get so impressed with Jesus' ability to teach and illuminate the Word of God that they surrender the mission. They go back to the guys that sent them, and they're probably asking, "Hey, where's Jesus? You're supposed to bring him here." And all they could say was, "No one has ever spoken like this man." Wouldn't you love to have seen that? Oh, man. And then, in fact, the Pharisees said to these guards, "What are you, becoming his disciples too?" I wanted to insert in there, "Yes." Who knows, maybe they're in heaven. The third thing is this: God's technicolor truth unlocks the deeper revelations of what God is saying. Jesus Christ obviously is the pinnacle, the gateway, the touchstone of biblical teaching. You cannot teach better than Jesus. You cannot illustrate better than Jesus. He is the living Word of God. Now, as we get into this right now here, it's proper for me to say this. One of the things that we're going to have a lot of fun in this series learning is how to see the Bible and these parables through Middle Eastern eyes, or else we won't get it. A lot of people, a lot of us in the West might think, wasn't Jesus like from Newport Beach? Because, you know, all of our renderings have gotten kind of looking surf-like. Nope. If anything, you know, you got to remember, Jesus probably would have had pretty dark olive-complected skin. He could have probably, most Jewish people that we've seen in Israel have green or blue eyes, really light-colored eyes, really unusual. Dark hair, sometimes even like a reddish tint to their hair. Like David, did you know King David, the Bible says he had reddish hair. You ever think of David having reddish hair? He had to have red hair. Look how gnarly that guy was. Look, he could be ornery. He had to have red hair. Imagine David coming after you with red hair. The guy never missed. Jesus would have looked Jewish. He was Jewish. And he spoke to his Middle Eastern culture. There's things that he taught. We'll see them in the parables. There's things that he said. There's things that he painted for them with illustrations and with words that we scarcely get in the Western world. But they got it. If we were to speak to somebody today, by the way, for those of you who are excited and desiring to evangelize and share the gospel with people, one of the greatest things about evangelism, and I know that we have probably, I I'm kind of biased. I think we have the best training course here for evangelism. It's amazing. Okay, and many of you have gone through that course, but here's the thing. The part that I love to watch happen, and if somebody gets saved, then that's just secondary for me, is I'll have my countdown, you know, and I've got to make sure I hit these points, because I've got a few minutes with them. I want to make sure I give them the gospel clearly. But here's the thing that I love the most. Okay, Lord, just speak through me. When you share with somebody, you should always be desirous, Lord, speak through me. Jesus, you know this person I'm talking to inside and out. If there's something you want to lay on my tongue and the tip of my tongue right now, Lord God, as I'm sharing, just let it go. And I love that radical, exciting, I'll call it an inspirational moment, because I'm radically, like you are, inspired when you might say, and I remember sharing with someone in Russia in that very instant where they were talking about how righteous they were. And the Lord gave me a modern day parable. I'll share it in the few weeks from now, the Lord gave me a modern day parable right there on the spot. I opened my mouth and started saying it, and I didn't even know how it was going to end. I'm not kidding. And it came out. And listen, when I got done saying it, I knew it wasn't me, and I wanted to get saved. It was amazing. It was absolutely amazing. And I had nothing to do with it. I just went, bleh. And the guy goes, I have no answer for that. I can't refute that. Said, okay, man. Yes, that happens every day when I share. I'm kidding, but it was amazing. It was amazing. So listen, unlocks deeper revelations. John 1, verse 3, listen. All things were made through him. That's Jesus. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was life. Watch the progression. And the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, speaking of Jesus, verse 10 now. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Isn't that a sad verse? He came to his own, Israel, and his own did not receive him. Here's the good news. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the power to become children of God, to those who believe on his name. Now listen to that. He came revealing the truth of God with hopes of unlocking their hearts with the truth, but the world didn't believe in him. He speaks to his own people, and collectively, the scripture says they didn't believe in him. So you know the outpouring of that in the book of Acts. It's all about this gospel going not only to Jerusalem, not only to Israel, but to the ends of the earth. Why? To unlock deeper revelation. Matthew 13:1. We read part of it a moment ago, but watch this. Matthew 13:1. And on that same day, remember that? He went out of the house and sat by the sea. A great multitude, that multitude we talked about earlier, came and was gathered to him, so that they got in the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Verse 3, then he spoke many things to them in parables, and look at it says, behold, he said, a sower went out to sow. This is the first beloved parable that Jesus taught. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. They all knew this. He's painting them a picture regarding the evangelistic outreach of God's word. So the sower sowing seeds, some seeds fall along the roadway, the wayside. And the birds came and devoured them. No farmer, no person sowing wants that to happen, but they know it does happen. They've seen it happen. Verse 5, some fell on stony places. This is sad. Where there did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root and they withered away. Verse 7, some fell, that is some seed, fell among thorns. And the thorns sprang up and choked them out. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And here's the challenge. He who has ears, let him hear. Verse 10. And the disciples came to him, that is Jesus, asking, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it has been given you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it has not been given. And here's the reason why. You might say, well, wait, that's not right. You mean God gives some people enlightenment and some not in a whimsical manner? Nope. Jesus is going to answer this. For whoever has, to him more will be given. Church, listen. And he who has abundance, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is absolutely awesome. Don't think for a moment that God is saying, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you get to go to heaven and, you know, whatever. He doesn't do that. The word goes out. God, who is eternal, knows how people are going to respond. Before you and I ever respond, he knows because he's timeless. So when the truth goes out, it's the exact same truth that the believer and the unbeliever hears. The same thing. It's how it's processed. How do they take it in? One guy takes it in and says, wow, this is amazing. I want to hear more of this. Well, at the other moment, the other guy's saying, I don't want any to do this. I could care less. Both people have enough understanding given by God to do something with it. Are you listening? This is serious stuff. What you do with it, you're responsible to God. If you say, I went to church, it's crazy, I'm not gonna do it. People are crazy, music's crazy, pastor's crazy, it's all crazy. Forget about all that stuff. Did you hear a verse from the Bible? Yeah, there are a bunch of verses. What did you do with them? What do you mean, what did I do with them? Okay, I don't care. Jesus said, what that person has will be taken from him. Church, listen. The more a person, we all know people like this, the more they say no to the gospel. Every time they say no, like Pharaoh. Remember Pharaoh? Pharaoh said, no way. He kept saying no until he wound up getting stuck in his no. A person begins to hold their ground so firm and resist that they become petrified in their view. That's a dangerous thing. Every time somebody hears the gospel and resists, it's harder for them next time to respond. Has God ever told you to stop sharing with somebody and just pray for them now? Sometimes somebody will say to me, Pastor, I've shared with my husband or my wife or my parents the gospel 20 times. What should I do? I'll tell them, stop. Are you sure they know the way of salvation? Yes. Then stop telling them. Fast, pray, become burdened for their soul. Why? Because that person is resisting and resisting. Jesus said here in this parable, what they have, with every rejection of the gospel, it dissipates. It's their ability seems to almost evaporate out in a way until they reach that point. You know, the Bible says in the Proverbs, he who is often rebuked hardens his heart and will be taken away, and that without remedy. Can you imagine? But it's he who often is rebuked, who hardens his heart against the rebuke. He's not softened. But on the flip side, the person that is open, I want to know more about God. This is interesting. I want to find out more. Maybe, something's happening when I hear the word of God go out. Listen, Jesus says, that person who has something, I'm going to give them more. If a person is bent on declining in darkness, Jesus allows them to go on the path that they're choosing. If someone wants to be open and to be receptive to the gospel, Jesus, as it were, stokes the flame, turns on more lights. That is a very comforting thing to keep in mind. And I'm blessed by that. And so are you. Number four, God's technicolor truth removes truth from the unbeliever. It's what we're just talking about. It removes truth. The parable goes out, the truth will be removed based on Jesus' teaching that these are they who their hearts have become hardened. They're like the soil. The word of God goes out. Their hearts are hard. The word hits and bounces off. The truth goes out. Listen, and this is amazing. God is justified. Watch this. The truth goes out to all people. Some reject, some accept, but it's rejected by those who don't want anything to do with him. And tragically, their prayer is answered. Last Sunday, it broke my heart, still breaks my heart. A mother came to me very concerned about her child, her adult child. And she wanted some comfort. And church, listen, put yourself in my shoes for a second here as you hear this. Pastor, I have a question. My son is living a certain lifestyle and he's doing all this stuff and there's no sign of him being a Christian. I said, how long has this been going on? For years. But he went forward at a crusade. So I know he's saved. And I said, based on what? What are you basing his salvation on? She said he went forward at a crusade. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not salvation. That cannot save you. Do you understand?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called The Parables, The Technicolor of Truth. It's a lesson that takes a look at one of the teaching tools we find in Scripture. It's also an introductory lesson to Pastor Jack's topical series on these fascinating biblical teaching tools. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it is Friday, and that means one of my favorite segments here on Real Radio, Ask Pastor Jack. Now, this is a great way of getting your Bible-related questions answered right here on Real Radio. Just send your question to AskPastorJack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. AskPastorJack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This is kind of an interesting question today. Pastor Jack, I've met and heard of some who reject our faith because they just can't seem to wrap their minds around the concept of eternity and that we believers will worship the Almighty forever. I have no problem with all this, but what else will we do throughout eternity?
This is not a joke. It says we're going to eat, and it says we're going to worship, and it says that we're going to be with him. I think that ought to sum it up, being with him. But you got to remember something. That's a cool question what he asked, because he just expressed for all of us our limitation. I'm not saying you're limited. I'm saying we are all in on this together. He said, when we get into eternity, what are we going to do? It's so long. I mean, what are we going to do all that time? You already know the answer, right? There ain't no time there. You can't judge it. Man, we've been worshiping for 14 hours. You're not going to have that perspective. It's eternity. There's no time. Why? We will be outside the physical universe. The time, shortness, and length of it is limited to the physical universe. Time is a physical property, just like light is. We will be in a world that's not physical. It's spiritual. And so the Bible calls it the day of God. It didn't say the days of God, plural. It says the day of God.
Okay, that's Pastor Jack on what we believers will be doing throughout eternity. And it sounds pretty good to me. Ask Pastor Jack. Email your question to AskPastorJack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Ask Pastor Jack at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.